So the topic of today's presentation is IIS Express, which is a free, lightweight, self-contained, and very developer-oriented version of IIS that we announced in Jan. The official release was announced in Jan as a part of a group of products called Web Matrix. I'm hoping most of you have heard about it. And today what I wanted to do was help you understand IIS Express and go through some hands-on demos on how you can make the most out of it. And so first I'm going to start off with like a quick tour. And my feeling is that a lot of you have you know, exposure to this, so I'm going to try and keep that short. But then we'll take a look at IIS and how it compares with IIS Express. So we understand, you know, what's kind of the fundamental differences between the two. And then after that, I'll talk about, you know, how you can configure IIS Express for different types of things that you might want to do. We'll wrap up with like a quick look at, you know, some things that we have planned in the future. And I'm happy to take your questions at the end or if you have any along the way. So that's roughly, you know, what the session is all about. So why IIS Express? The goal that we are trying to achieve is to give you the best of both worlds. On one hand, you know, prior to IIS Express, you had Cassini, very lightweight and well integrated with Visual Studio, but lacks, you know, features like SSL, external traffic, and so on. But on the other hand, you know, you had the option of using IIS on the box, but it requires you to be an admin, and it doesn't run on a bunch of Windows editions, including XP. What IIS Express gives you, I hope, is, you know, all of the power of IIS you care for as a developer, but in a way that's really easy to use. It's really easy to download. It's a pretty quick download, and it runs on all Windows editions, XP and above, which means, you know, regardless of what Windows version you're running, you should be able to use IIS Express, and that's basically the value proposition with this product. Now, the next step that I have in mind is just to give you a quick overview of IIS Express, and you know, I think a good way to do that is start with Visual Studio. So let me fire up a copy of Visual Studio. Now, one thing to note is that IIS Express UI has been introduced, will be introduced with Visual Studio 10 SP, which is currently in the beta form. So if you're able to go ahead and install the beta, please do, and you'll be able to see the stuff that I'm showing you. If you don't, like for example, if you can't install beta, or if you have Visual Studio 2008, it is possible to configure IIS Express with those versions of VS. And you can, you know, if you do a web search, you can find some folks, you know, who have discussed how to do that. I won't be getting into that in this meeting, but it's definitely possible. Now, what I have here is a, you know, a web application project. You could have chosen a website project, and a whole bunch of this would have been the same. But I'm going to start with the web application project. And another thing that I want to add is that if you install SP1 beta, you don't get IIS Express. You're going to have to go ahead and install it separately. And there's a few different ways you can do that. First off, you can go to the Web Matrix website. And as I said, you know, Web Matrix is a suite of products which make it easier to build web applications. And that whole suite includes IIS Express. And it has some features that actually complement VS, like search engine optimization. So, you know, you might want to try install it. But if you go to the website, excuse me, and click this link, it'll install IIS Express and a whole bunch of stuff. Now, if you really care about installing just IIS Express and you don't want the other things, then I will refer you to the to our area in IIS.net, where there's a bunch of articles on IIS Express and other aspects of it. But you know, in particular, if you look at this overview section, there's a part there that talks about the various ways to install IIS Express, and you can do that using WebPI. You can use WebPI to install just IIS Express, and finally, the third option is to go to the download center and just install the MSI. And if you do it this way, be sure to make sure that you have .NET 4.0 on your machine already, right? So once you do all of that, then what you can do is from VS, right-click, and by default, VS continues to use Cassini or the ASP.NET web server as a choice. But you can right-click on the context menu and use IIS Express. And there you go. Now your project is set up to use IIS Express. And that, you know, it's as simple as that. One thing I want to show you guys is that properties window, that there are some new properties here in this grid that are specific to IIS Express. And there are things like, you know, you can turn on anonymous authentication. You can choose between your integrated or classic pipeline mode. You can enable SSL, and I'm going to talk about that more as we go along. But there are a few things that you can configure really quickly. The other thing you can do is, go to your project properties, and under web, we have some additional UI that pertains to IIS Express, right? And so this, in effect, covers most of the UI that comes with IIS Express. But it, you know, lets you do quite a bit. So if I were to hit F5, it's going to start IIS Express instead of Cassini, and you'll see this icon, which is our system tray application. The system tray application lets you browse websites that are running under IIS Express, and you have this other view that you can use to, you know, look at all of the running instances and learn more about them, like, you know, where does this application live on the disk, and what's the config file, right? And stuff like that. You can also choose to stop IIS Express, all instances of IIS Express from here. Now, the other thing you could do, and you know, I'm going to restart this instance. The other thing I wanted to show you is as to what VS is doing. And what I want to do is run Process Explorer. Let's see. Let me launch this real quick. And I want to scroll down and look for anything IIS Express related. And what you see is Visual Studio is running a program called IISExpress.exe. And if you're from the IIS side of things, then you know this will be new to you because this isn't something that was shipped with IIS. We also see the System Tray application. And where does this thing live? It lives under program files x86. Now, it turns out that we ship only a 32-bit build of IIS Express. And so on a 64-bit machine, it's going to run under the WAF 64 subsystem and show up under program files x86. But if you have a 32-bit machine, it'll show up under program files. So that's just something to keep in mind. And you'll notice that IIS Express.exe is being given a command line parameter, which is the config file. It's a config file similar to IIS, as it turns out. And then you have a slash site option that specifies the web application it's trying to run. And what this suggests is the fact that maybe, you know, IIS Express can run, you know, multiple applications, which is true. So what I'm going to do is I'll just step into the install folder for IIS Express, which I happen to have open here. And let's just try running IIS Express without any options. And I can see that it's doing something. In fact, it's running something called Website 1. Now, website 1 is different from web application 1, right? So those are two different websites. And if I were to, you know, take a look at the system tray icon here, what you see is that I see both websites. So unlike Cassini, we are aggregating all running applications under the same system tray application. And this is, I think, a lot more convenient when you've got many applications you want to work with and you don't need to hunt for the right icon in the system tray. So that's nice. And the other thing to note is, again, one point of difference from Cassini, which is that under website 1, and this is, happens to be a site that I set up before I started this presentation, I see two bindings. So there's actually two URLs that I can use to browse to that application. That, again, shows you, you know, one advantage of using IIS Express over Cassini, which is that, you know, just like IIS, just like you can do with IIS, you can actually bind multiple URLs to a website. And then later on, I'm going to show you how you can do more advanced scenarios like, you know, use port 80 or use a host name or serve external traffic and so on. So that's sort of a demo of how you can run IIS Express from the command line. You can also do this, which will give you some command line information about IIS Express. And I think I'll point out one thing, which is that there's broadly two ways to run IIS Express from the command line. There's the slash config mode. And in the slash config mode, what happens is all of the server settings, all of the information that configures the web server lives in a file. And that file is called application-host.config, which is in fact syntactically identical to the application-host.config that IIS ships with. That is also the way Visual Studio and WebMatrix, which is the other tool that runs IIS Express, both of those tools rely on the slash config mode. Now, the slash config mode is optional, which means that if you were to not specify it, IIS Express is going to fall back to a default configuration file. And where does this configuration file live? I'm going to show that in a minute. But the other way you can run IIS Express is using the slash path option. And slash path, what slash path does is runs IIS Express directly off of a folder, right? So you're not giving it a config file, which in turn points to your sites and applications. Instead, you're directly giving it a application on the folder. And where do all the other settings come from, like the port number and stuff that you specify on the command line? And now, this is convenient in some circumstances, but it has some limitations. I won't drill into that, but I just want to let you know that these are the two different modes, and that in one case, there is really no application host.config file that you can change to control the web server. The final thing I wanted to show you as part of this quick tour is, if I were to go into my documents folder, you'll notice there's a directory called IIS Express. And this folder is actually what contains the default configuration file used by Visual Studio, used by WebMatrix, and so on, and used by the command line when you don't explicitly specify it. The other thing this folder contains is the log files and trace files by default. Now, you can manipulate them, and you can manipulate their locations, but when something's going wrong and when you're trying to figure out, where I can find more information about what's going on inside the web server, take a look at the logs directory, and you'll find a folder per website. So it's pretty easy to find the log folder for your website. Just look for the name. And there's also another folder called trace log files. And what this is more granular request tracing. And this is usually used specifically when you have a problem. In IIS, it's also called FREB. Now, in IIS, you have to turn it on when you need to because you don't want to slow down your server. However, with IIS Express, we turn it on by default because, we primarily anticipate people using it to design and develop their websites. And here, you'll see one folder per application. So if I were to drill in, I'll see the FREB files for that website. So that kind of concludes the quick tour of IIS Express. What I wanted to do next is take a look at the fundamental difference between IIS and IIS Express, because knowing that really gives you a very good idea of what's going on your machine and helps you understand, why certain things behave the way they do. So let me first start with IIS. In IIS, you have a global application host.config file. This file lives under Windows System 32, INET SRV, and it's actually restricted to admins. So you can only edit it if you're an admin. Now, additionally, you have some services, in particular something called WAS, or Windows Process Activation Service. And this is the guy who reads the entire configuration file and registers binding information with something called the http.sys kernel mode listener. Now, this is an operating system component which, for performance, handles HTTP and SSL parsing and encryption decryption for IIS. So it's actually, lives inside the kernel, and it's, handing over requests to IIS. And the way it works is WAS is going to register all of the bindings that are in application host.config. Like, for example, if you have a site that wants to listen to foo.com over port 80, the WAS service is going to let HTTP.sys know that it wants to listen. But it's only when an incoming connection comes in that WAS creates a worker process for the website, for an application pool, actually, to be more technical. But in general, the way it works is that this worker process here, also known as w3wp.exe, has the core processing pipeline, right, which includes authentication, authorization, and then calls to either ASP.NET or PHP or, you know, whatever your engine is at that point. So all of that worker pipeline processing is inside this worker process, but it never gets activated till there's actual traffic, you know, directed at that website. And again, when the website isn't receiving a lot of traffic and it's idle, then WAS is responsible for deactivating it. And that's how IIS operates, right? It's got this WAS service which does on-demand activation and deactivation of websites. Now, IIS Express is different in the sense that we don't have a WAS. And we don't have a WAS because it just adds that extra layer between you and the web server. Instead, we have iisexpress.exe with SAW, which effectively encapsulates the web server processing pipeline. The other thing is that IIS Express can take a user-owned application host.config file, meaning your config file is different from somebody else who's running on the same machine, right? Which is very convenient. In fact, you can have several application host.config files that you can choose based on what you're trying to test, so which is really convenient. So you have that convenience factor. But note that we continue to rely on HTTP.sys to process HTTP and SSL, and that's great from a compatibility standpoint. Even the worker processing pipeline is, you know, pretty much the same between IIS and IIS Express. There are some differences, but they are wrinkles, really, mainly as a result of the fact that this is IIS 7.5-based code that's running on XP. So there was some porting work involved. But other than that, it's all fundamentally the same. So that's, you know, essentially the difference between the two architectures. One thing to note is that there are some security policies in HTTP.sys, right, which are designed to prevent squatting, spoofing, and other network-based threats. Now, these threats are really more severe in a server environment. They are possible to, you know, a lesser degree on developer machines, but it's really a different class of an issue. But the way HTTP.sys works is that it applies some restrictions to non-administrators. So if you're an administrator, you can pretty much do anything. But if you're a standard user, then HTTP.sys is going to apply some restrictions. And that really drives a lot of behavior you'll see out of IIS Express. Now, the reason you don't run into those situations with IIS is because the WAS service, which interacts and registers with HTTP.sys, is running at a very high privilege level, right? But on the other hand, with IIS Express, you get the convenience, but you are a standard user, so you've got to deal with the security policies that come with that. So what are those security policies? Well, actually, the only thing that HTTP.sys is going to allow is for non-admins, just local host and non-reserved ports. So like, you know, a URL like HTTP localhost colon 8080, HTTP.sys can allow. Now, if you're a Cassini user, that's pretty much what you get, right? So, and you can do quite a lot of testing. You can actually build, you know, reasonably complete websites just based on that information. Additionally, what IIS Express does is it does a few things to enable non-administrators to use SSL during setup. So what it does, for example, is it installs a self-signed server certificate for localhost in your certificate store during install. And it can do that because it's elevated during install, right? And let me try and show you that certificate. So I'm just running MMC. And if you look at your personal certificate store in MMC, you'll notice, just ignore these other certs, this localhost cert, if you look at it, it's called IIS Express Developer something, right? The common name. Well, never mind. But this is the certificate that IIS Express installs so that, you know, the standard user can do SSL. Now, the other thing it does is that it actually reserves ports, a range of 100 ports between 44300 to 44399 for use with SSL, right? So by virtue of that, you can actually test not just local traffic, but you can also test SSL with your website, albeit with some, you know, predefined settings. So what are the things that require you to be an administrator? Anytime you want to use a reserved port, like 80 or 443, you need to be an admin. If you want to use an IP address, even if it's the loopback IP address, like, you're going to have to be an admin. And every time you want to use like a DNS name, which means, like, for example, if you want to bind to external traffic, right, that falls into that scenario. If you want to do host name headers, that falls into that scenario. And SSL outside of the, you know, default settings we take care of for you, you're going to have to be an admin. Now, this might seem like a lot, but and you know, in some cases it is. It's a big deal. But there's a lot you can still do as a standard user, which is one of the benefits of IIS Express. So that sort of you know, completes the architecture section. And now I wanted to move on and talk about, you know, practically what are the things that you can do with IIS Express, and what are all of the different, you know, tools at your disposal. Now, it turns out that the configuration story for IIS Express, especially when it comes to some of these more advanced scenarios, is a work in progress. Now, Visual Studio SP1, you know, it's a service pack. So there's some limits to how much functionality we can add to such a release. But VS does give you, you know, enough of a UI to work with, you know, the settings that any, you know, standard user would care about. Additionally, we have some other executables. There's something called appcommand.exe and isexpressadmincommand.exe. Now, these are two tools that you can use to configure IIS Express. What appcommand.exe does is it's actually a tool that IIS Express inherits from IIS. It's a modified version of a tool from IIS that's designed to work with, you know, the per-user config files that IIS Express supports. But the syntax is by and large the same. And so if you care to learn about appcommand.exe, there's a lot of material out there on the internet. And it's the same syntax that IIS uses, so you can use that. The other thing is a new utility called IIS Express Admin Command. Let me show you what that looks like. And you'll notice that it has a few helpers to set up friendly host names, to set up URLs, and this would be an example of setting up external traffic and setting up SSL. So basically, this is like a helper utility to configure http.sys, right? And because you're just trying to set policy, you have to be an admin in order to use this tool, right? So that, you know, that's something that I want to qualify this with. However, it does make life easier because configuring http.sys is different based on whether you're on XP or on, you know, Win 7 and Vista. And so that you having that command line helper is very handy. Now, over and above that, what we are doing is we are looking at some PowerShell command custom commands because I think that that greatly simplifies administering IIS Express. Some of the advantages of using PowerShell is that you know, you can do it from inside Visual Studio. I don't know how many of you are familiar with NuGet, but NuGet is you know, it's primarily a package manager, but it gives you a PowerShell prompt inside of VS. The other option is just to use a PowerShell command you know, window, and so PowerShell, you know, is you know, pretty easy to use. It's handy inside of Visual Studio, and what it can do is it can, you know, you can set it up to elevate on demand. So if you're trying, for example, to set up external traffic, you don't always need to be in an elevated shell, which is, you know, always not the best thing to do. You ideally want to elevate only as long as it's necessary. And this PowerShell, you know, commandlets are designed to do that. Now, this is pre-release. What I want to demo today is some stuff that we are working on. We haven't figured out exactly how we want to ship it, but we want to ship it as soon as possible because I think it's going to make your life easier. And then longer term, you know, we'll be looking at simplifying this further via user interface, or at least the things that most people care about. Finally, you have the option of editing application host.config manually. And you know, in general, that might not be so desirable, but there are many cases where it's pretty straightforward. So I want to highlight that also as a way that you can use to get a lot out of IIS Express. And you know, this user interface has the benefit that it actually lets you pull up the application host.config pretty easily. So if I were to click here, I have application host.config up and running here. And when you first look at it, you see a lot of stuff, and it can be scary. But the stuff that's really interesting from an IIS Express perspective is the sites section. So I want to show that to you really quick. And this XML for sites, like I said, is the same as IIS. So all the documentation applies. But broadly, the way this works is that you have a site element for every website, pretty much. So if you had two different Visual Studio projects, they typically end up in different websites. Now, inside a website, you have bindings, and these are really important because these are the URLs that your website is going to service. In this case, you'll notice that I have two local URLs on ports 8080 and 8090 respectively, but we'll add some more bindings so we can do things like external traffic, hostname headers, and so on. The other thing that's inside a site section is a virtual directory. And you typically have at least one virtual directory that pulls in the content for your website. But the other thing you can do is that you can actually use this to map things that are not physically a part of your application into your website. And that's very convenient for like scripts, images, and other things that you want to share across projects. So for example, I have a folder here where I have some images. What I can do is just pull in slash images from my folder on disk. And there, it's right there in my application to use. And for me to use that is, pretty straightforward. I can just go to my default document here and, just add an image tag here. So something like image source equals, let's see, I think I had a JPEG, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so I have just a simple JPEG file there, and I can pretty easily pull that into my website. And so that's made possible by the virtual directory concept in IIS. And as you can see, this is something that you can easily do by editing the config file, although we don't have a user interface for it just yet. Right? Now, let's take a look at what it would take to do some more advanced tasks. And in order to demo them, I'm going to use the still-in-progress PowerShell commandlets that I was talking about. But the good thing about PowerShell is that it's going to display the app command or IIS Express admin command syntax that it actually uses under the covers. So from that perspective, it's instructive because you can figure out, what's going on underneath. So some of the things that I want to show you is how to use a non-default port, like port 80, how to serve external traffic, how do you set up hostname headers, how to do custom SSL certificates. I have a blog article, and there's another article on IIS.net that talks about how to do this. And if you look at it, you'll notice that it's more cumbersome than what I'm going to show you. And the difference is really PowerShell. So I hope you find this useful. And here's a quick flowchart that you can use to figure out, what are all the things I need to do to enable a certain scenario. And all of the things in red here are really elevated. They require you to be an administrator. In the case where you're trying to use your own customer certificate, that cert has to be in your certificate store. And you can use existing UI. You can use Cert Manager. You can use MMC to do it. And I'm going to show you just in case. If you're trying to do host header, then you want to assign a name like in my case, my schools or, you know, Foo or whatever, to your website and test it locally before it goes into production. And several times people like to assign multiple, you know, host names to the same website. And then once you do that, you can use things like URL rewrite to handle, you know, requests based on the host name that they were associated with. So I'm going to show you how to set up host names with IIS Express. And then finally, if you want to do SSL, you have to configure http.sys. And if you're trying to use a restricted port, you need to configure http.sys. Typically, the final step is to configure apphost.config, and that actually turns out to be pretty straightforward. So that's just like a rough flowchart for you to keep in mind when you're trying to do, you know, these kind of tasks. Now, let me start with the first one, right? And there's an interesting trick here that I wanted to share. Now, let's assume I just want to change the port on my website. So I'm in Visual Studio. Let me go to the Properties tab. Right, and I look at web. VS has assigned me a random port, and it's kind of a non-reserved port deliberately. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to run into issues with security. Now, if I were to try to change this to port 80, you'll notice that VS doesn't allow me. Go ahead and try it when you have a chance, but it's not going to work. And it's because you know, VS doesn't have all of the error logic it would take to do this scenario, to handle the scenario, right? So you might wonder, you know, how do I deal with this problem? The other thing is, you know, try changing localhost to your machine name. You're going to have problems there as well. So how do I overcome these issues? And that's where the fact that you can have multiple bindings in a website, you know, comes really handy. One of the things that VS tries to do, I can try and show that to you, is that it uses this URL to track the right configuration for the website in applicationhost.config. It's almost like a key. Let me see if I can show you that. So I'm going to step into my documents folder and Visual Studio Projects Web Application 1. One more level. So look at the csproj, right? Search for localhost. You'll notice that VS actually stores the URL in the project. So it's actually going to use this to look up some information in applicationhost.config. So one thing I would absolutely suggest you don't do is change this URL underneath VS in applicationhost.config, because that'll just lead to confusion. But what you can do is leave this intact and do whatever else you want to do with the project. So for example, if I want to add another binding to this website, I can, but I'll just leave this intact. So that keeps Visual Studio happy, but at the same time, you can you know, test out all the scenarios that you care about without running into issues. And it turns out that Visual Studio is very tolerant about all of these other things. And so you know, you don't run into any trouble at all. And so let me try and show that using port 80 as an example. Now, port 80 is a reserved port, and like I said, you're going to have to elevate. So if I were to go back to this flowchart, for port 80, right, it's a restricted port, so I need to install an ACL with http.sys, and then I can go ahead and add a binding in my apphost.config. It's just a two-step process. And to do both, I'm going to show you PowerShell that I mentioned before. And what I'm going to use is the Package Manager console, although I could have used any other PowerShell prompt. I know there are some others that, you know, work with VS, or you can just run a command prompt and just type PowerShell. And the way you can get to this piece of UI in VS is you're going to have to install ASP.NET Web Pages 3. And then if you go to Tools, you'll see the Library Package Manager, and you can open up the Package Manager console. So that's how you'll get to this. But once you're here, I'm going to import this DLL here, which implements some custom commands. If I run a I forget what the syntax is to show modules, but there are a few commands as a part of this provider, and I can start with the first step, which is to configure http.sys. And for that, I have a commandlet called grant URL. And to grant URL, you just say, this is the URL that I want to open up for non-administrators to use, right? Now notice that I'm in Visual Studio that's not running as admin, which is pretty convenient. I don't have to open up an elevated prompt or anything of that nature. From VS, I can run this, and then it's going to do a UAC, and then it says that setup URL is complete. And here's the command it actually ran. As you can see, it ran isexpressadmin command.exe with some parameters. One of the things that the PowerShell commandlet does is that it actually is more flexible to the syntax. In that respect, it's more convenient than isexpressadmin command.exe. So you can go ahead and add this. And the next step is to add a binding in your project. You say add binding, name of the project, and the URL you want to listen to. Right? And it's done something to my application host.config file, as you can see. And if I were to go in here and look at web application 1, you'll notice that localhost.80 now shows up in here. And so now you're all set. If I were to launch IIS Express now, I should be able to, now you can see port 80 shows up. And you'll notice that I retained that website. And this is the image I pulled in using virtual directories. So that that's a demo of that feature as well. So that's a simple example of how you can do non-default ports. Now, external traffic is extremely similar, right? All you do is grant people the ability to. Now that happens to be the name of my machine, so I'm just going to configure. Configure http.sys to allow folks to non-administrators to bind to that. And then I can just go ahead and add a binding. Right, there you go. And now your website is in theory set up to handle external traffic. Now, if I were to run this, you'll notice that everything goes fine. And hopefully my machine name shows up here, it does. Right, and I can browse to it, and I can browse my default website internally. Now, the thing to note, though, is that there's another layer for external traffic, which is your firewall, right? So in case you're trying to build, for example, a mobile app, and you want to test your app on your smart device, the additional step you're going to have to follow is that you're going to have to configure your firewall as well, and that's a step I won't cover here. But that sort of gives you an idea of how you can do two tasks I have on my list that includes, like, non-default port and external traffic, right? So the third thing that people want to do is test with hostname headers. And the only difference about a hostname header is that you need to add an entry to the hosts file. And this is, a pretty simple step. Probably the only thing complicated about it is just, again, having to fire off an elevated command prompt or, find out where that file lives. And so to help with that, I have, let me just kill this from here. I have a command called add host, right? And since I want to demo SSL slightly in a bit of pretty soon, let me make sure I have the right host name. Right, I have a two certs, and so the site I'm going to use is my school. And what this does is now it has configured your networking stack to map my school to your loopback IP address. So from within your box, you'll be able to access your website using my school as your DNS name. There are ways in which you can set it up so that other people can access your box too, but I won't get into that. But once you do that, then the rest of the steps are again the same. Since my school is not localhost, I'm going to have to configure it again to configure http.sys again to enable access And then I would add a binding for my school. And that's it. Now my website is set up in two simple steps. And so if I were to hit this, I'll be able to see all of those bindings, hopefully, and I see my school show up as well. So I see all of those things show up, which is cool, because now what I have done is I have bypassed the limitations that, you know, on the surface that VS seems to apply, and test out a bunch of the other scenarios that I care about. So now the final thing I want to cover is how you can use custom SSL settings. Now, one of the reasons why you might want to use a custom SSL setting is if you want to test SSL over a friendly host name like my school. Now, the default SSL certificate we install is bound to localhost because we can't anticipate all of the different host names that you want to test with. So we install a self-signed certificate for localhost, right? So what I want to do, right, what I'm going to need right now is a server certificate that's bound to my school. Right, that's the first step. Otherwise, SSL, you know, is not going to work. And for that, you're going to have to come up with a certificate of some sort. So, for my demo, I have this PFX file which contains a certificate. And the step one there is to install that certificate in your computer store. And you can do that using MMC. So I go into MMC, and I can say import. And I can pick up, I need the PFX file because it has the private key for my certificate. So I pick that up. I say next. Gonna have to provide a password. Okay, so step one is complete. My certificate is now in the store. The second thing I need to do is to configure http.sys to associate my IP address and port with that certificate. And the way I do that is using, I still use grant URL, right? So that command is actually even capable of handling SSL. Now, normally SSL would use port 443, right? But that happens to be in use on my machine. So what I'm gonna do is use a different port. Let me just make something up. Something like 44555, right? So now the port is different, which means that my URL is going to look, you know, slightly weird. But in most cases, that's not a problem. The important thing is that I'm going to be able to test SSL with my friendly host name. Now, when I'm setting up SSL, if I were not to do anything else, it would set me up to use the default certificate that ISExpress installs, and that's not going to work because obviously I'm not using localhost in my URL. So instead, what I do is I give it a slash cert parameter, which points to a certificate. Now, this certificate is slightly different from the other one in that it only contains the public portion of the certificate. So there is no password prompt that comes in. But other than that, it's the same certificate. And what this command does is it looks at the certificate, it computes the thumbprint, and that thumbprint is getting passed in to ISExpress admin command.exe, which in turn configures http.sys. And once I do that, now I can go ahead and add this SSL binding to my website. And hopefully my website is now ready to serve SSL over the friendly domain name. Let me go ahead and see if that works. So you see this binding show up. If I navigate to it, now I see a warning. The warning here is the fact that the browser doesn't trust the server certificate. And the reason is because the certificate wasn't issued by a trusted authority. It's just something that I created. So since I know that, I can continue to the web page. I can continue to the website, and then everything works fine. So this is an example of how you can set up a friendly domain name to use SSL. And you can go ahead and set up as many domain names as you like. Sometimes what people like to do is use techniques like URL rewrite to actually present a different user experience, or at least present a different initial page based on the host name that's configured. The other thing you can do is, based on the URL, if, for example, if it's like a login-based URL, you can redirect that to SSL. So those are some tricks that you can incorporate using URL rewrite. Now, unfortunately, URL rewrite is not something that I am set up to demo today. But when I do get a chance, I'll you know, probably blog about it, just so that it's out there for people to try and play with. So that's really a look at how you can perform some tasks using IIS Express that you could never do with Cassini. And like I said, the configuration UI and the configuration tools are a work in progress. But what we wanted to do is not delay the release unnecessarily and give people more than what they have today and continue to improve the overall experience going forward. So that sort of completes the configuration story. And I just wanted to wrap up by talking about some of the things that we are planning to do in the future. This is not a committed list of things. It's not guaranteed that all of these are going to show up. They probably won't show up in the next release. But we certainly want to improve the management experience for IIS Express and make it more and more easy to leverage these powerful features from IIS without having to know more, right? And so we want to lower the bar to use these advanced features. One of the things that you cannot do today is you can't include your apphost.config as a part of source control, which can impact team-based environments. So that's something that we're definitely looking forward to fix. Now, with a 32-bit build of IIS Express, you can work with VS, WebMatrix, and all the tools that are out there. A 64-bit build helps people who really want to do something more specialized. I'm sure there are other scenarios out there, but one I know of is where you're trying to build a 64-bit module or test a 64-bit module on IIS Express. And then finally, we do support WCF today, but we only support HTTP or HTTPS. We don't support the other bindings because they happen to be implemented in WAS. So what we are doing right now is, we are planning on working with the WCF team and figure out, how we can add the support going forward. So that's just a look at, some of our plans going in future releases of IIS Express. And before I leave, I just wanted to recap some of the resources that I, shared with you today. There's the WebMatrix website. And like I said, it's got a bunch of cool stuff, so I would, advise you to check that out. The IIS Express page has a number of articles. And finally, my blog page. We are always looking forward to your feedback, and we'd love to hear about, your experiences with the product. So do feel free to shoot me an email or, communicate, interact with me through the blog site. So that's all I have, and I can take any questions people might have. Yeah, unfortunately, we debated that. Unfortunately, the way things stand, you're going to have to rely on the MSI. And the reason is because it makes it really hard from a servicing perspective for us to allow people to redistribute, like subsets of IIS Express, number one. And the second thing is that, we haven't had the test cycles to make sure that that functionality, works as expected. Majority of our testing has happened, around the MSI. And so those are some of the reasons why we don't let you redistribute the installed files. If there are any specific issues that poses, I'd be, curious to know. You can send me email or find me. But as things stand, you're going to have to rely on the MSI. Yes. So to access the certificate UI, it's pretty straightforward. You just, add remote snap in. And here you can, use a Snap-in for certificates, and that's the one I used. All right, thank you.